Good morning to all of you this morning. If you see traces of white on my mustache, it's from the cupcake this morning. We have a dear brother, a pharmacist, attending our church, and he told me one time, a patient came to the window. I don't know if it was at where he was or a fellow pharmacist, but a patient came to the window and picked up a prescription, and it was a new medication, so he asked the patient, have you taken this medication before? And the patient asked, is this going to kill me? And the pharmacist replied, if that happens, bring the receipt back and we will give you a refund. I thought I'll start with something funny because when I looked at this chapter, we could see some of the hopeless situation in that chapter. And I was assigned this chapter. It was not my choice. But as I went through the chapter and when I get to the end of it, it said all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and so on. So I decided it's all for good. So this morning we're going to look at chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. Convicted for his faith in Christ, we know that at this time of writing this epistle, Paul was spending time in isolation in a cold Roman prison cell, awaiting his sentence for execution to be issued by Nero any day. Most of Paul's friends deserted him, and only Luke was ministering to him in the jail. Onesiphorus was another believer who helped him at Ephesus, who visited him in the jail and was of great comfort to Paul. And Paul was very anxious to see Timothy back, his son in the faith, as he called him in his first epistle to Timothy. And he addresses him in the first chapter of 1 Timothy, in the 2 Timothy, first chapter, as my dearly beloved son. He had great hope in Timothy and wanted to encourage him to build on his heritage in the faith in God that his mother and grandmother instilled in him. The spiritual bond of love between Paul and Timothy can be sensed in the beginning of this letter. Grounded in faith and blessed with the spiritual gift of preaching and teaching, Paul encouraged him not to be ashamed of the gospel for which he shared with him in the suffering in the past, to uphold the truth of the Word of God and prepare other men to follow his example. Be disciplined and ready to suffer hardship like a soldier in the second chapter. Strive like an athlete till the finish and work hard as a farmer before he takes rest and enjoy the fruit of his labor. Be a worker approved by God, rightly dividing the word of truth, refraining from idle talk, disputes and quarrels. Be an honorable vessel fleeing from youthful lusts, correcting others in humility who are on the wrong path. Paul reminded Timothy of the end result if he continued in the same path that Paul showed him. In chapter 2, he said, For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. In the third chapter, we mainly look at three main instructions to Timothy. Number one, turn away from imposters. Number two, follow the true leader. And number three, continue in God's word. Now, number one, turn away from imposters, from perilous men in perilous times. And verses 1 through 9, Paul goes through the list of things that we could see. Paul is warning Timothy of what to expect in this world as characteristic behaviors of the unbelieving world in the last days, mainly. And he has to encounter perilous men in perilous times. We are living in the last days. The last days actually began when Jesus Christ came into the world and started his ministry. And it will end at his second coming according to his promise. Now Hebrews 1:1 says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. He will return to the earth at the appointed time. But the world thinks, as Peter put it in 2 Peter chapter 3, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. The world goes on in its merry ways, as in the days of Noah. But one day, Christ will appear in the skies. And 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. And again in 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 5, we read, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Let us not be weary or discouraged when we see the ungodliness increase around us. Let us look at the list that Paul has as characteristics of perilous men in this chapter. And it begins by saying, but know this. But Timothy, know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. But they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. Lovers of themselves, self-lovers, self-important, self-satisfied, conceited, egotistical, me-first, self-centered, total lack of concern for others. These words given here are simple, but I'm trying to make it more difficult by giving you more words to look at. Boasters, always bragging, show-offs, tooting on horn, none better than me attitude, full of great swelling words. And again, proud, arrogant, condescending, high-minded, with superiority complex, blasphemers, evil speakers, profane, contemptuous, foul-mouthed, and insulting, disobedient to parents. It all starts at home. Disobedient to parents, dishonoring parents, rebellious, uncontrollable, no sense of duty to parents. In the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, verse 12, it says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." Is the first commandment regarding human relationships that God gave to Moses. Excuse me. Paul emphasized this in Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. Your life may be cut short as you grow up, being disobedient and disrespectful to your parents." That behavior translates into your behavior in the society, and there could be consequences of starting as disobedient to parents, disrespecting the authorities, disrespecting law, and you could get into trouble. And Bible is true that your life may be cut short as you follow that path. Then unthankful, that's ungrateful, unappreciative, attitude that everyone else owes them everything in life. Unholy, irreverent, corrupt, not consecrated, impious, profane, impure, unsanctified, not sacred. Unloving. God is love, and we are made in the image of God. God has created us with natural affection and love. Love toward God and love toward others. And unloving means callous or hard-hearted. Unforgiving. This is a natural consequence of lack of love. Forgiveness cannot occur where there is lack of love. Slanderers, spreading false, untrue, malicious reports, engaging in defamation and smearing, making disparaging remarks about somebody. Without self-control, with uncontrolled passion, without self-discipline, self-willed, without restraint, self-indulgent. Brutal, unkind, savage, cruel, wicked, hurtful, vicious, and wild. Despisers of good. Adopting evil instead of good. In Isaiah 5, chapter 5, verse 20, we read, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." We have come to a generation who accepts sinful behavior and legitimizes evil. Moral and ethical behavior have been distorted. Okay, now I have a choice of hot and cold. Thank you. Traitors, betrayers, opportunistic, untrustworthy, like Judas who betrayed Jesus, lie and break their promises for selfish gains. Headstrong, reckless, rash, stubborn, obstinate, imprudent, haughty, puffed up, stuck up, self-aggrandizing. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. This does not suggest that Christians cannot have any fun. When a choice needs to be made between enjoying pleasures of this world and God, even some Christians have no problem choosing pleasure over God. They will spin all arguments in their favor, even quoting the scriptures, justifying themselves. Sometimes it is used as an escape from God. They live contrary to their profession of faith. Outwardly they seem religious. There is no evidence of the power of God in them. In Hebrews 11, we read, "By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. They have a form of godliness. I think we are through the list that Paul gave to Timothy. Now, these people have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of God in their lives. Paul's instruction for Timothy is that from such people turn away. Do not follow their ways and get mixed up. Keep a distance from them. These so-called religious crowds are being attracted by corrupt leaders. These religious leaders do not care what kinds of sinful life the members of their congregation live in. As long as there is money collected and entertainment provided for the crowd, they please men rather than please God, and they themselves have a luxurious life. Satan is an imitator of God, of what God does, because he covets God's glory. He tries to get it from sinful men, and if he can have counterfeit faith and a counterfeit religion, his job is done. They deny the authority of the Bible and substitute human wisdom and philosophy. They creep into households, and it is easier than ever through television to attract a crowd by catering to their appetite with flattering words. And they lead them away from the truth. Their final state will be like that of the two men mentioned here, Jannes and Jambres. Now, Jewish tradition says that these were two of the magicians who tried to imitate the miracles of Moses and Aaron performed before Pharaoh. As we know, they were able to imitate to some point as God allowed them to, but finally unsuccessful. They lead astray many souls, but the people allow themselves to be led away. Ultimately, they are preparing the way for the Antichrist. So that's the instruction for Paul to turn away from such people. turn away from imposters and from perilous men in perilous times. And the second instruction to Timothy was to follow the true leader. In verses 10 through 13, Paul tells that, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." In contrast to these false teachers, Paul reminded Timothy to consider Paul himself for his doctrine, his manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, and afflictions. Timothy himself was witness as a companion during Paul's missionary journeys. He was real and speaking always the truth of God, the true gospel of Jesus Christ. At Lystra, that's Timothy's hometown, Paul was once stoned and was left for dead. The apostles' teaching were true to the word of God and was loyal to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was not in the ministry for any personal material gain. Instead, he was willing to suffer for the gospel. Timothy was a witness to Paul's persecutions at Antioch, as well as Iconium, as recorded in the book of Acts in chapters 13 and 14. He was repeating that the Lord delivered him out of all these troubles and persecutions that he endured. The joy of the Lord never left Paul's heart. He could sing and praise God through all his adversities. The Lord never leaves us. He is always by our side. However, God has not promised us freedom from all persecution and troubles when we try to follow the Lord. When a believer tries to live a godly life and witness to others, the ungodly are threatened and become uncomfortable. So their easy way out is to eliminate the messenger of the good news, of the living way. Now, Paul had no illusion about which way the world was going to go. He knew through divine wisdom and revelation that all men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And the third instruction to to Timothy was continue in God's word. And verses 14 through 17. "But as for you, continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." And Timothy, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of." Timothy was faced with these false teachers, and the teachings of the imposters and their characteristics that we looked at. And it's easy to be discouraged and to retreat from his mission of teaching and preaching and continuing in God's word in its true sense. Paul was urging Timothy to continue in the word as he was grounded in the word of God from his infancy. which led him to faith in Christ and his salvation. He was taught by Paul to only rely on the word of God, preach and teach it to others to defend against the false teachers so that they would not fall victims to their deception. Satan knows the Bible too. Jesus quoted scriptures to him when he was tempted by Satan in the wilderness. Now, talking about the whole armor of God, in Ephesians 6, Paul says, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." The word of God is the sword of the Spirit. All scripture is given by God, written by men, inspired by the Holy Spirit. It is only the work of the Holy Spirit and how God has preserved various portions of scriptures, some recited for generations and recorded eventually written in manuscripts, how God made it possible to have a copy of the printed Bible in our hands in its current form, in various translations all over the world in many languages. Many have lost their lives in the process of developing the Bible, in possessing a copy of the Bible, or in the process of studying the Bible. John Wycliffe, we know, was burned at the stake to death as he was translating the Bible. How much do we value the scriptures and spend time in it? All the scripture is important and is given to us for instruction, for doctrine, reproof, correction, and guidance. And in Hebrews 4, verse 12, we read, "For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." As we read this chapter, we know what kind of a world we live in. And we see the characteristics of the perilous men in perilous times. And we know that the coming of the Lord is approaching fast. And the world is on a course of destruction. And we know that we can rely on the word of God. We can be encouraged by the word of God. And by the word of God, we can live our lives. And we can have the joy and peace in the Lord by focusing on the word of God and the promises in the Bible that are given to us. And this hymn says, "Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life." Beautiful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner, list to the loving call, wonderful words of life. Also freely given, wooing us to heaven. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words of life. And that's what we see in the scripture. As we read, we take comfort, we get encouragement, and we get inspired to live for God and to serve Him better in the coming days. And as the chorus goes, the B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's a book for me. I stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. How fortunate we are to have a wonderful book, the scripture given to us complete. Everything that we need is in here. As far as our guidance, as far as our living, as far as our encouragement, as far as our hope, in the future. Everything is given in here. And we look forward to his coming and to spending time in eternity with him, with our Lord and Savior. And in heaven, he has reserved us. And we have an inheritance in heaven. And it's all in here. And we can take courage. We can take comfort in the scriptures. And when we go through difficult times, when we go through temptations, when we go through suffering, this is our comfort and our peace and our inspiration. May God bless us. May God give us guidance of the Holy Spirit that we would use more time to read the Word of God and to be encouraged and inspired by it. May God bless His Word, and let's close in prayer. God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your Word that you have given us. We thank you for Paul and his suffering for the gospel. We thank you for Paul, who wrote so many epistles for us, by reading we might be encouraged, that we might be inspired. We thank you for his life, and we thank you for Timothy. And I pray that you would enable each one of us to rely more on the Word of God, and that we realize the riches in the Word of God that is given to us, the wisdom and the knowledge that we can impart from that scriptures. Lord, we thank you for all your goodness and your mercies upon each one of us. Lord, we pray that as ladies, help us to instill in the children scriptures at an early age, that they might be led to Christ, that they might be led to God, that they might come to the saving knowledge because of their guidance. How wonderful it is for children to sit in the lap of the mother or grandmother and to learn about your Word. Lord, bless the ladies who do that, and we pray that you would encourage each of the ladies to be of influence in children's lives. We pray for the young men in our assembly, as Timothy, help them to be respectful of their parents and respectful of older believers, and that they could learn from them, that they could be following their example, and enable them to grow in the Lord, and using the scripture and studying the scripture, that they might have a blessed spiritual life, blessed Christian life. Lord, we pray for the older folks, older men, that they would be of encouragement and guidance to the younger ones, as Paul was to Timothy. And we commit each one of us into your hands. Lord, as the week progresses, be with each one. Lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit. Part us with your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.